It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. This is the song Burn Card from the Montreal-based group The Barr Brothers, one of more than a dozen folk songs we're exploring with Sheila Shigley, the host of WPR's Simply Folk. Let's hear more from Burn Card.
As the trouble does when it's on the troubled mind. Reasons come and reasons will go, and the blind are following the blind. The coffin and cradle, the daughter and the Holy Ghost in the same room.
Join a conversation about folk music at any time. Call in with a question, your thoughts, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Sheila Shigley hosts Wisconsin Public Radio's Simply Folk program, airs Sunday evenings from 5 to 8 on the Ideas Network and the NPR News and Music Network. Sheila, welcome back.
Well, thanks, Kate. Thanks for having me.
Oh, I'm so excited about this sound journey. And so we're going to just dive right in, okay?
That sounds great.
So, you know, we asked you to reflect on the year and of hosting Simply Folk and creating this playlist for us to encounter. What is remarkable about Burn Card that we've been hearing from the Barr Brothers?
Yeah, I just, you know, I sit in the studio on Sunday night and sometimes I'm experiencing the song fully for the first time. You know, it grabbed my ear, and sometimes I just sit in the studio and cry because it's so beautiful. They just struck me as so gorgeous. I hear overtones of, you know, Simon and Garfunkel. They sound a lot like our regional Midwestern group, the Pines. It just grabbed me by the heart. I think you don't always know.
When I was reading up on them, I found that they also have a harpist.
They do. They have a harpist, and she herself hasn't. And she's an incredible, her name is Sarah Paget, and she has, I could talk about her all day. Experimental harpist is what is used for her. And you might not hear it in there because it sounds like such straightforward folk, but it just, people are just, you know, the sky is the limit today with folk. And that is what's so exciting about being here.
When you say the sky is the limit, how do you define folk music when artists are really blending out there? They're really merging some genres, and there's a lot of innovation.
Right. You know, I don't think we'll ever answer the question of what is folk music. And people will have different opinions on this. You know, we used to say no drums, but now there's just such tasteful, gentle even folk music coming out that does include percussion. So we're long past the days of ruling those guys out.
It seems like there's also this embracing of where the musician's heart is at the moment and really soaking in. I mean, singer-songwriters are taking in the world around them, and that can be interpreted through sound and in a number of ways in their music.
Right. You know, I always like to point out that there was a time when the fiddle was considered going in the wrong direction. Like when they started adding fiddle to traditional music back in Ireland, that was a big no-no. That was considered a modern thing that had no place. And then, of course, now we couldn't imagine traditional music. So I think it does change with the times, and that doesn't mean you don't respect what folk music is and isn't. And, you know, sometimes we might go a little too far in one direction, but I love that, you know, folk music is creeping into rock music as much as rock is creeping into folk, to put it in really blunt terms. I see a lot of movement in the other direction. People who are now consider themselves indie rock musicians or indie musicians, they're, for all practical purposes, creating folk music. So, I don't know. It's really interesting. And part of the magic is that we may never have an answer.
And it sounds like, too, that sometimes they may label themselves one thing, but they may be doing something else. I mean, labels, too, certainly, and compartmentalizing and branding, all of that, I'm sure plays into it as well.
Right. Sometimes it's almost what it's not as opposed to what it
what
is.
You know,
well, it's not classical, that we can say for sure. Or, you know, it's not punk, that we can say for sure.
Oh, Sheila Shigley here, host of WPR's Simply Folk, as we review folk music. And what is on Sheila's mind? You can join in. Questions and comments along the way, 800-642-1234. You make an effort on Simply Folk to highlight folk music from a variety of cultures. And so let's listen to Caesarea by Trio Mandali.
Caesarea Amala moisaria, chemia cana damborki. Amala moisaria, sanam disi.
I wish we could see the expressiveness in the faces of this trio when they sing.
They are such a delight. They're just three girls from the Republic of Georgia, and you'd think they were sisters by listening to their voices, and they actually resemble each other too, but they're actually not related. And they started out by literally walking through their village in Georgia, and you'll see their friends and relatives behind, little kids following them. And they just walk through town singing, and they've put out some professional recordings as well, but they just did this one day, and it was such a hit. I think they got 7 million views in like a few weeks. But yeah, they sing in very traditional, what is really traditional harmonies of Georgia, and then they do sing in other languages as well.
It's important to see, I think, folk holistically in other languages, and even though we don't know their words, and just taking in the sounds can convey so much as well.
Yes, it's just, and this is just a love song, like any other love song about a girl named Keseria, and it's in the Georgian language itself is just fascinating. It's such a different to our ears. I think we're probably unaccustomed to some of its sounds. Just beautiful, and they have an approach to harmony that's really, really stands out.
Well, Mike sent an email our way. Mike wants to share their passion for art theme, art passed on, but was a truly great guitarist and banjo player, played all over parts of the country. And Mike says that they knew them from the Green Dragon Inn and recalls Simply Folk doing some recording of art at the Green Dragon in the 70s and early 80s.
Yes, that is a vaunted venue and a vaunted series of recordings. I think we have either two or three separate concerts of art at the Green Dragon. I believe it was recorded by Tom Martin Erickson and emceed by him. At least one of them, and another possibly by Judy Rose. But yeah, wonderful times there at the Green Dragon. I never was personally able to experience it, but I've heard tales. People's eyes just light up when you mention art theme at the Green Dragon.
And so those archives would be held here in our holdings in the music library?
They are held here. We don't have them all digitized yet,
okay.
But we do have arts digitized, and we're so glad to, you know, because a lot of them are still on reel-to-reels, and we're still working to try to save a lot of those old recordings.
Let's take a call now. Jason in Prairie du Chien. Jason, hi.
Hi.
What would you like to bring up?
I was just wondering about your guest's opinion. Do you feel like Sturgill Simpson is mostly a folk artist, and have you experienced a lot of his albums or not?
I'm sad to say that I have not experienced him. What's your experience been with this artist?
Well, I feel like he gravitates towards country music, but his storytelling and the way he writes his songs is just, it to me, it feels like folk music. It's really phenomenal.
I've been playing a little more country. So in fact, I got some people complained I was playing too much country, but I hear a lot of beauty in country. I didn't mean to cut you off there, but I will definitely check this artist out. And yeah, I'm a firm believer that country has a solid place under the tent of folk music.
Jason, thank you so much for sharing that and bringing Sturgill Simpson our way. Appreciate it. So, you know, at a slower pace, let's hear the Colombian singer-songwriter Marta Gomez.
Tierra, tan solo tierra de noches No es la ceniza en vilo de las cosas quemadas.
Tierra tan solo, what can you tell us?
Oh, it's just her voice, for one thing. I can't say enough about Marta. Her voice, her dedication to great causes. She's just amazing, and she's actually highlighting there a song that's based on a piece of poetry by Federico Garcia Lorca, who himself was an activist, and unfortunately he was assassinated, most probably back during the Spanish Civil War, for his activism. So she's, you know, kind of doing double duty. She herself is an activist, writer, and singer, and she's highlighting the work of others. And then it's just plain beautiful on top of that, and sort of just heartbreaking in its sound to me.
The emotion coming through. That is. And what do you make of people like Gomez really wanting people to open up to music in other languages? And how does that influence the messages in folk music?
I think it strengthens it. Just as we heard with Quesaria, there are love songs in every language, and everybody knows what it feels like, hopefully, to be in love or to have your heart broken. And we can connect across any barrier because we really are all having many of the same experiences. And I think that that's one reason she invites singers from around the world to join in some of her collaboration albums, for example.
Sheila Shigley is host of Simply Folk on WPR. You can call in with questions and comments about folk music, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're listening to more Trio Mondoli and on The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network. It's The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is You and Me by fiddler, guitarist, and singer Sarah Watkins as we explore a playlist of folk music with Sheila Shigley, host of WPR's Simply Folk, airing on Sunday evenings.
I found myself at your place. I was out walking. I could hear your piano, and I swear I could hear you sing. And the joy we share.
Be part of this conversation about folk music and the future of the genre. Call in with a question. Share thoughts. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Tell us about You and Me, Sarah Watkins.
We're talking about the power of music, and I just can't help but feel happy whenever I hear that song. And, I've said that I sit in the studio and cry sometimes. Well, I also get a big smile on my face, and I hope it lifts other people up, too. Some songs just make you happy, and that's one of the ones that does it for me. Of course, Sarah Watkins, just such a treasure.
Yeah, and does some solo work, but also Nickel Creek out with a new album, Celebrants, and that's the Chris Thiele trio. So she does she's doing a bunch of different things, it sounds like.
A bunch. She's also with I'm With Her, singing with Sarah DeRose and Aoife O'Donovan. I first saw Nickel Creek when they were practically still in diapers, and they sang here in Madison. And to this day, it's one of the best concerts I have ever been to.
Wow.
Hands down. They didn't take a break. They just kept playing through the break. They played for 3 hours and then kept going. And the older people in the audience just sort of started leaving, but these kids were still going. And, of course, they're still together now.
They still have it in them. Well, let's take another call. Tira in Maiden Rock. Tira, hi.
Hi, Kate and Sheila. I just wanted to call and share an experience I just had this morning. I was driving my kiddos to school, and we were listening to some Christmas music. And this isn't specifically folk-related, but I think it applies to all music. And my 12-year-old daughter said, Mom, this is the kind of song that you can't sing along to because you're just too busy listening to it.
Oh.
And I just thought, wow, that's so great.
That is wonderful. Yeah. You know, so many of us, I think, work in the modern world. We're exposed to our first musical moments sometimes in the car. And I sometimes think about the power of those car rides. I mean, that's where I first heard WPR as a kid and lots of classical music. It's really powerful. Those short little drives to school have a huge impact. And it's so neat that she is already experiencing like the depth of the music.
Mm-hmm. And wanting to listen to the lyrics and think about what they mean or what they say or how they speak to her. I really appreciate that. Well, keep encouraging that for a 12-year-old. I have a 12-year-old as well, and I try to do that as well. Let's take another call. Jim in Milwaukee. Jim, hi.
Hi, hello.
Hi, what would you like to bring up, Jim?
I've been a long-time listener of Wisconsin Public Radio, and especially Simply Folk. We go way back with our family. you know, many times in the evenings listening to it just on the radio, you know, no other devices going on in the house. We've attended folk music festivals. One I can think of is the Old Time Music and Crafts Festival in Shawnee. Larry Penn was there, and he just really struck me as being able to come up with wonderful folk music, but also have a message of the importance of understanding the relationship between workers and a corporate structure. And he did it kind of in a kind, gentler way. And I was just wondering how you see that as an moving forward with the current folk musicians. And I just want to thank you. This is my first time calling in.
Thank you. It's so great to hear from you. And what we've been talking about Art Thiem. What a great person to bring up in the same breath, right? Larry Penn. And I love what you pointed out about the gentleness with which he brings the message, because sometimes I think that makes more of an impact even than there are angry folk songs, which are also fantastic, but sometimes, as you pointed out, when you say something gently, it actually has a bigger impact, and I think more people listen. I agree that his way of bringing messages was just stunning, and I do hear young artists also being gentle. I think Marta Gomez is one of those. The song that she sang was really, if you listen to the lyrics, they're about how the earth is always there viewing the sad things that are happening to the people who don't get counted and who get ignored and get forgotten, but the earth is always there watching this. And I think her delivery and choice is very much in the spirit of Larry Penn, a sort of gentleness.
Thank you so much for calling in, Jim, and sharing that. Sheila Shigley with us, Wisconsin Folk Music on Our Minds. Sheila is host of WPR Simply Folk. And you can call in with a question, 800-642-1234. So we're going to explore Waterbound by Rhiannon Giddens and Francesco Turiso. Let's take a listen.
River's up and I can't get across. River's up and I can't get across. River's up and I can't get across before the water rises. Waterbound and I can't get home. Waterbound and I can't get home. Waterbound and I can't get home down in North Carolina.
Oh, there's that North Carolina.
There it is. Oh, she's just so lovely.
What can you tell us about? Little backstory here.
Well, she's known for her work in Our Native Daughters, and probably people first met her in the Carolina Chocolate Drops. This is an old traditional song. Nobody knows who wrote it. Several people claim to have written it. It's just so old that, it's about being homesick. And it's so, yeah, they're singing about North Carolina, but you could be singing about, Wiyawiga. I mean, I'm homesick and I can't get home. And it's just another universal theme for the heart.
Yeah. I read up on the song itself, and apparently she was living in Ireland in the pandemic, couldn't get home to North Carolina, and felt it just like you said, it's just that can't get somewhere feeling kind of homesick. Mm-hmm. And there is a song there to kind of form around that.
And sometimes it's the simpler songs that really hit you. It doesn't have to have a lot of lyrics. I mean, it's almost like a mantra, and it's easy to sing. It's another thing about some folk music. It's inviting because it's easy to sing and you can learn it and hearing it just a few times,
Well, our next track is As the Lights Go Out by Kate Rusby.
Sometimes it's hard to when they've been so heavy and it's all but we stand together and the night is kind and I know them well, the stars don't mind.
What did you pick out here?
I love playing this one at the end of the evening, especially on a summer evening. I don't know, it just kind of always brings happy tears to my... I guess I've been talking a lot about crying today, but, good music does move you.
Sure.
I love Kate Rusby. We need to hear hard-hitting social messages, and we also sometimes just need to be comforted and think about the sweet things in life. And to me, a lot of her music is very tender. Mm. And very tender. We're almost, it's almost shocking, you know, we're almost not accustomed to hearing such tender, sweet messages these days. And I think that's, it's sad, and we should hear more of them.
Oh, Sheila Shigley, host of WPR's Simply Folk on Sunday evenings. Join the conversation. Call in, share a question, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer Kent. This is more music from Kate Rusby here on the Ideas Network.
The stars don't
It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. We explore this eclectic playlist of folk music with Sheila Shigley, host of WPR's Simply Folk. Our next track is Dink Song by Andrea Von Campen. Join us by calling in with your question, your comments on folk music, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. You can also check out our program page for a playlist of the songs we're talking about with Sheila. Visit WPR.org/mornings. So, Sheila, Dink Song, sometimes called Fare Thee Well in the American folk tradition. Why did you pick this one?
I've heard of Dink Song, you know, for decades, but it wasn't until I heard Andrea's version that it just really grabbed me. And, you know, it's a sad and almost a dark song. It's about a woman whose husband leaves her as she starts to grow older and her body starts to change. There's a verse where when I wore my aprons low, you were always at my door, and now that, you know, as she gets older, her aprons get higher and higher, and he leaves her because she's not young, but to hear Andrea sing it in such a tender, youthful voice just gives it an extra poignancy, I think, and plus just her voice and arrangement is just stunning to me. Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that one. Let's take Jack in Madison. Jack, hi, go ahead.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning. So, yeah.
I was just going to say, you know, hearing about some of the folk artists you mentioned, I got thinking about older artists like Gordon Lightfoot and Joni Mitchell. I know that they've been to Madison, Wisconsin a bunch of times on different tour stops. And I was thinking about the impact that artists like those had. And I know that Joni Mitchell once had a photo shoot for one of her albums on Frozen Lake, Mendota, sometime in the mid-70s. And I wondered if, I guess, our friend might be able to speak to that some more, other artists' jaunts in Madison or Wisconsin.
Yes, we've had, you know, Madison, as far-flung as we think we might be, we've had our share of folk star visits. I just love that photo of Joni on the lake, and I love Joni. I mean, you know, I just watched a documentary about her where everybody was writing kind of harder music, and she came along with these very simple delivery, and people almost didn't know what to do with it. The producers didn't know what to do with it, but they knew they had to do something. And so here we had this very straightforward woman and a guitar becoming this new thing that now, you know, everybody wanted to do after that. But and also with the message and the beauty. I mean, her song "The River," just to me, that's almost in the same category as that Andrea Von Campen song. Just mesmerizing, roots you to the spot.
And I'm thinking about the Wisconsin Life piece on that and the album cover.
Yes, it's a hot topic around here right now.
Yes, it is. Well, you know, leading up to this conversation, I've been reflecting on the passing of Sinead O'Connor and her influence on folk music. And I know Jack and Madison brought up, you know, the passing of Gordon Lightfoot. And let's just listen to Sinead singing The Foggy Dew with the Chieftains.
Ride proudly high in Dublin town.
What are you thinking about as the year turns?
Yes, thought a lot about Sinead actually this year, mm-hmm. and of course the double tragedy of her having just lost her son shortly before her own death. And I am embarrassed to say I did not know that that Donal Lunny, who's a very, you know, precious Irish artist to me, was mm-hmm. was her son's dad. And just a triple tragedy all around, but also so grateful for the music that she left and the impact that she made, and so sad that her depth of sadness was so great that she had mm-hmm. to leave, you know.
Yeah, and what you mentioned, too, about folk music can be this moment of reflection. It can bring us ability to see mourning in different ways. But when the passage of a folk musician like that, I feel like we hear it even in their mournful music even more, that they are not here anymore.
Right. And it's hard to listen to knowing that they're not here. And yet, you know, we have to. And so much of folk music is about tragedy. For centuries, that is what gets written about a lot. Mm. You know, from her own tradition, there are ballads of mourning and eulogizing people that are, you know, 16, 20 verses and are still sung today.
Well, we're going to turn to hear Mourning Is Made by Hush Kids.
The mourning is made for the birds in the trees. The mourning is made for the falling of leaves. The mourning is made to start over again when we do. Everything's waiting for you.
Aw, what do you like about this duet?
It's, again, I guess tender is one of the words of the morning. you know, we are often caught up in very hard-hitting stories because we have to be. We have to stay on top of the violence that's happening in the world. But I feel we don't get enough of a chance to take time to feel the more tender things and to focus on them more, you know, mm-hmm. and maybe that would even help with the violence. It became uncool to be tender and sweet. And I think a little bit of the Hollywood vibe there, they kind of make it uncool to be sweet and kind and gentle and just to enjoy something that's not violent. And that's why I like these tender songs, to just take a moment and remind ourselves what actually matters, you know, when it comes to thinking of how to start a day, what to focus on. Like, don't forget that there's good as well as bad.
And there are quiet moments that it's not just go, go, go. Phone here, screen here. But there are these quiet moments to just sit and think and reflect. And
yes,
yeah.
And it often is morning. I notice that you'll have that feeling in the morning, and you know that the minute you walk away from it, that's kind of it. That may be it for the day. That mm-hmm. that is the only time that is going to happen in the day, and to maybe stretch that out a little longer.
And we can with some of these music selections. I just, this is so nice. Let's hear some more here from Sheila Shigley, put together this wonderful playlist, host of WPR's Simply Folk, as we take a tour through folk music and its meaning. You can join in with questions and comments along the way with artists you want to bring up. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. So Jim Murray and Josian Clark are on your playlist. Favorites with the song Lord Gregory.
Don't you remember Lord Gregory, that night in Capoquin? We exchanged
is made of tin. Yours it cost a guinea, love, but it was false within. And don't you remember Lord Gregory?
I'm wondering, who is Lord Gregory?
Right. He is a man who, he took a lover, and back in those days, you could not have an out-of-wedlock child, mm-hmm. and this is a story of tragedy. His partner was pregnant, and she was trying to get in from a storm, and she knocked on the castle door where the very wealthy mother-in-law, well, would have been a mother-in-law had they been married, lived, and the mother-in-law would not let her in, and she turned the woman away, and the woman died. The woman and her unborn child died as a result. So it's mm-hmm. a story of, you know, social strictures leading to betrayal even by one's own family. And it's a very long, the longest version is something like over 20 verses, as we were talking about before. So mm-hmm. and a real event that really happened in history and still sung today, even though sometimes we've like lost track of who it is about.
Huh. You know, it's folk music helping to keep the oral history alive is what I'm hearing there.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's an absolute oral history of this actual event.
What sticks out to you about this rendition?
Well, so in folk music, at least in colloquial English, these are some of the oldest English language songs that we have. This mm-hmm. I believe this is from the 1500s, maybe 1600s. And they do get reinterpreted, and sometimes new figures get stuck into the same song and it becomes reinvented. But what I love about this is that here we have modern young singers choosing to do this old child ballad, as they're called. And I think that's just amazing. And they've made it into a modern masterpiece, even though it's an ancient song.
I love that. And just carrying a traditional ballad on for the next generation.
Yes.
And that is also how you carry that history on, that oral history on.
Right.
Oh, that's so wonderful. Sheila Shigley, host of WPR Simply Folk. We're playing a wide selection of traditional and new folk music. And there's space to talk. Call in with a question or share 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're listening to Chunablumen by Anne Bjorg Lien. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is singer-songwriter Sierra Farrell. The cover of Years by country music artist John Anderson, as we explore folk music with host WPR's Simply Folk, Sheila Shigley.
You and me came to be. We raised a family. When we're gone, they live on to see what we won't see.
Still time to call in with your question, your thoughts in folk music, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Well, tell us about Sierra Farrell.
Yeah, I was reminded of our earlier caller who asked about country music mm-hmm. and its place in folk. And that's a great example of, I think country music has an obvious place, but that's a nice approach. It's a little more old-timey. You can hear what we talked about with percussion. It's percussion, mm-hmm. but it's such a folky approach to it. And I just think that it's everything good about a piece of folk music. Sierra was born extremely poor in West Virginia. Her early life, she's talked about, led her to leave home pretty early and just become a sort of itinerant and travel up and down the West Coast singing. And eventually people started realizing what they were hearing and, you know, she got some recording contracts. But I just love her approach.
Do you think that you'll find more influences with country music and folk and Americana kind of intersecting, blending?
I hope so. And I hope that, you know, I have strong feelings on the state of some modern country, and some of it I love and others I'm like, whoa. I hope that the best of folk music will start permeating some of the quote unquote modern country that's gotten fairly commercialized. And, you know, it's a genre. I don't completely loathe it, but I hope that the dialogue goes both ways and that some of this clearly just awesome stuff starts creeping onto the FM dial a little more, you know?
Yeah.
That's a dream anyway.
So your playlist of new discoveries, recurring highlights and other Simply Full favorites, it includes On God's Rocky Shore by Callahan Morrison and Eli West.
To drop myself an anchor right down to the bottom on that ocean's floor. I went to the doctor. The doctor
said no more jumping on the bed.
Something along those lines. I will never know. Oh, those guys and their harmonies. I never forget when I first heard them. I've just about worn out that album in our library. It's called The Holy Coming of the Storm, that particular album. And I heard these two, and I was like, wow, that is everything I love about tight harmony singing. Obviously, a more old-timey feel to this piece.
Yeah. And I think I mispronounced. It's Cahalan Morrison and Eli West.
Yeah,
that right?
I believe that is it, correct.
Yeah, and so... the song is sparse, but with lyrics, so you really you appreciate more of that overall, both the harmony, but also kind of that organic feel of the song.
Yes, and that sort of beautiful percussive string playing. It's really reminiscent, actually, and probably a direct result of, through time, of African kora playing, where they will play like a very busy underlying piece to a lyric that is not as busy. Yeah. And I really hear echoes of that in this piece.
And so you kind of have to balance out the banjo and the bluegrass guitar and the mandolin with these tight harmonies,
right?
Because every kind of one wants some of that attention,
right,
from us as we listen.
Yeah.
Well, let's listen to Jessica Hoop on your playlist with Tulip. The song features grittier guitar and electronic sounds that we've heard elsewhere.
To live with what I buy. Oh, since she ran weed and island on the North Sea side. To live with what I buy. Finest dresses man could buy and a girl for to be my bride.
Okay, I have to say, Tulip is the one I just crushed on from your list. I listened to it over and over as I was working. I loved this song.
I am so happy to hear that, and I became almost obsessed with it when I first heard it, and it's basically another child. She wrote it, but it's like a child ballad. It's in the style of the old English story ballads.
Uh-huh.
And it's tragic, as one might imagine, but her instrumentation and approach to it just grabbed me by the soul. And this is probably the one where people might say, whoa, is that really folk? You know, I don't know. You tell me, but it's a child, you know, it's basically an English style child ballad. And yet you also, again, you kind of hear the Malian approach. Mm-hmm. To the percussion and the way that she's chosen to use the strings.
It wanted me to find more from her, and so I found the NPR Tiny Desk concert. She did a Tiny Desk.
Oh my goodness.
In 2020, it was from January of 2020, right before the pandemic. I just kind of got to hear kind of more of that, a little bit of a variation of her. And it was just, you really opened me up to something new here that I just didn't realize. And then I read Stephen Thompson from NPR Music. We just had him on. And he was writing about her songwriting voice and her gift for distinct phrasing.
Yes. What a word to choose, Tulip. I mean, that part of the magic of the song, I think, is her writing, her lyricism. And just like the old songs, she knows how to take a word. It, you know, it's almost like Scarborough Fair. Like, who doesn't remember that that phrase,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Well, she just gets this word and works it into the song, and it's the tulip has a symbolism throughout. And she's very, very gifted, I think.
We're going to hear Fair Beauty Bright now by Kathy and Carol.
Oh, then to her father's I was forced to go, to see if my true love would marry me or no. The old lady saw me come, she wrung her hands and cried, my daughter loved you dearly, and for your sake she died.
What can you tell us?
So these young ladies, they're about 16 there. They met in high school and put together a singing project and accidentally got noticed. And they're singing here an old American South folk song. Actually, it exists both in the North and the South, probably from about the 1800s, Fair Beauty Bright.
What is happening with their voice as they deliver?
Oh, they're somehow, even though they're California girls, and I would like to know where they picked this up, because they clearly had heard some more Appalachian style singing, almost like a fragile voice. If you hear the old singers from Appalachia, they will use a very tender but yet razor sharp voice, and I hear that in them. And also their choice of harmonies is just really remarked on a lot. And there are only two of them singing, and yet they come up with these harmonic progressions that are just really stunning to me.
Do you follow and trace these artists who you, or songs you like and the artists you like, do you follow their trajectory as they kind of evolve? Because I want to know, who are you following in 2024?
Right. It's going to be another year of discovery. One thing that's happening is that the volume of new folk music being recorded is just, it's overwhelming in the best possible way. And I just, you know, have to try to keep up. So I am just going into it with like eyes, ears, and arms wide open, and just trying to keep up, and at the same time digging back into our archives, because we have so many treasures still on our shelves, some that we've recorded with our own engineers that we haven't even put on air yet, or haven't put on air for 40, 50 years. This was recorded in 1965. Those girls were singing in 65.
Oh, wow.
And I only found them this last year.
Wow. So, and so as you hear new music, very quickly, how does it come to you?
It comes in a number of ways. We're fortunate now that some of the streaming services also are populated with folk, and they don't have everything. A lot of it comes from our own archives, because we have stuff now that just isn't available anywhere else. So it's a real combination of the new and the old. Mm. And then listeners. Listeners call in. As I mentioned earlier on the request show, I learn something new every time, and then I'm off to the races chasing it down.
Oh, Sheila, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
So much fun. Check out the program page for a playlist of the songs we talked about with Sheila Shigley, host of Simply Folk. That's wpr.org/mornings. You're listening to The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. It's the Ideas Network.